This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's playoff race at Bristol and hear from your winner, Christopher Bell. News in the world of NASCAR, we got it. And we head into Loudon, New Hampshire this weekend. Bet that sounds really good over the air. We'll get you ready. Also, week four playoff standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy standings. Scott's really happy. And much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio. Presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, to you and my radio right all things Alabama. Back in the winning ways, Jason Hildebrand, the man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, and keeping us on the air. Sits across the table, that is the super producer, Scott Webb. And I did a first on Friday. I actually called the Alex Hayden and on Thursday, and I said, Alex, I'm going to do a TV version high school football game. Give me some pointers. And so I got this
Did it help you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was like, the number one thing is just always make sure you keep your personality and remember that you don't have to explain everything because you're not doing radio.
Right.
And he's like,
it's a big difference.
He said, that's the biggest adjustment when I do TV to from radio is, you know, I'll go pit report sometimes for NBC or whatever. When I do that, I have a hard time oversharing information because people can't see because I'm used to radio. So it was good. I mean, Stephen Shelton really good on the color side and helped us out.
Yep, just Polk County
and Sweetwater. I was expecting 7-6 and we got a game.
You got a shootout.
Yeah, we did. So it was crazy. All right, some drivers this week had motor issues, and maybe they should have pitted for tires. Well, tires were at the premium. They even had to make more. They should have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off of North Lee Highway, give them a call, 423-479-3365, and get back on the road or track today on the Heater Dud Meter. Where does this race rank? I'm going numero uno, thoroughly enjoyed, and I'm basing that on probably wasn't the best race of the year overall, but what it could have been in comparison to what it was, I give it a one.
I'd give it a 1.5. I mean, it's in that ballpark. You know, it's better than what we've seen, the product that we've seen run up there, whether it be spring or fall, for a majority of the races in past, you know, I don't know how many years, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So, yeah, I mean, it didn't disappoint.
I'm in that same ballpark, 1, 1.5. I thought you know, tires kept them on the bottom groove all night long. We didn't see anything migrate up to the top and then just right around the rim all night long. You had to have some strategy in there. You had to take care of your stuff. And it's a variable. We always talk on this show about variables. And we got several, with the tire being the biggest one of them this past week. We saw comers and goers throughout the night. It just had everything. It looked like a short track Bristol race that I think people came to know and love. That spring race last year, maybe a little better because I think they were completely shocked at what was happening last year in the spring. But this was a close, probably a better close proximity than anything they've had in a long time.
So this may take up the whole segment, but I listened to some. I wanted to get feedback, right, before I formed an opinion on this past weekend. And so I listened to the Dale Jr. Download. I listened to a little bit of Door Bumper Clear and then saw some comments or whatever by some drivers, right? So, you know, I've always big on Goodyear not wanting to to produce a tire that falls away because they don't want to ruin an image that goes on our car, because they don't make any money on racing, right? As far as building a tire, they're losing money.
I'm not out there buying slicks.
Right.
It has no bearing on what I
it
do.
Doesn't. But I think that their thing is they don't want to have a car or a tire fail and somebody says, oh, those Goodyear tires aren't that good. They can't even go more than 50 laps in NASCAR. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think they worry about that. Last, go back to 2024 when they had tire, you know, fiasco at Bristol. This year, you saw practice and they were like, it looked like they could go as long as they needed to go. But a slight temperature drop, and in August, it wouldn't have been a temperature drop. You and I know that. But being in September, it drops down to the, you know, 5-6 degrees less than what it was at practice, and it all goes crazy. The other aspect is like Dale Jr. gave some feedback to Marcus Smith and said, hey, when this track was great, you had to get your left front tires down to a point to where it was almost on edge in order to grip. And once you found that, you could stay on the bottom and you could roll and you could go fast. Well, if you notice, the PJ1 was not up so high. It was almost like a strip at the bottom, which then gave more grip to the left tires and, you know, kind of almost slid the right side tires. And so there, you know, to me, it's one of those things. If you can do that, Goodyear knew going into this race.
Oh, I mean, the Goodyear rep on TV essentially said, this is what they asked for. This is what we produce.
And here's my deal. Keep giving it to me. That's my thing. Is what good does it, to your point, Jason? You're not going to buy slicks.
No,
I'm not going. Listen, at the end of the day, I got three teenage boys that are in college that like to eat. I can't afford a Goodyear tire in comparison to a Dunlap, right? I'm gonna go buy that one before I buy Goodyear. It makes no difference to me. But what makes a difference to me is the enjoyability and watching drivers have to drive to win a race in a sport that I've followed since I was, you know, come out of the womb. So I think, you know, for me, it is this whole thing with the Goodyear side is keep doing it. And in the PJ1, whatever that is, lower it down. Let's put it at every track. You can't pave Bristol. It costs too much.
Yeah, but, yeah, I 100% get you. But if you're a consumer and you want some good tire advice, you can always call Premier Tire and Auto.
That's exactly,
you know,
right.
For your passenger cars,
and
your
they
truck.
Probably sell Goodyear. They probably hate what I just
you're
said.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. I just want to know, and you touched on this a second, Jamie, if we say, okay, lessons learned, where do we go at in the spring now? Because it's been, you know, like I said, last year with the spring race, there was tire fall off, not in the fall, not in the spring, but now you had it again this year. Where does NASCAR go? Do they implement this strategy, this tire with Goodyear, you know, moving forward?
You have to.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would think that NASCAR enjoyed the show as much as the fans did out there, but who knows? Really, honestly, who knows what NASCAR thinks? Because we've seen so many radical changes and some things that have not come back to the way that it used to be ran.
And Junior said the best Bristol racing for him was when all three grooves worked.
Yeah.
And that was when they had concreted it or whatever. He said he remembers in 04 having Edwards running the bottom, somebody running the middle, and he was in third running the top, and they were just racing each other.
That's what all we ask for is you can pass. You have a lane. You've got a groove that you can run and be effective, not that you're just stuck in one lane.
Right. And that's the thing with Sunday or Saturday night was if you got up out of that PJ1, you were going to the fence. I mean, so any – or not to hit the fence, but you were definitely sliding up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, so was that perfect? No. But – I mean, it's one of those things where Goodyear knows the chemical compound to make the tire dissipate. Like, quit making it to where it runs 125 laps on a concrete track at 130 miles an hour. That thing's sliding everywhere, and those tires have no loss of rubber.
Yeah, we're not getting any tires. We're just going to go in for fuel.
Yeah, burn it down. That's the thing to me. So
well, they did this week because you see all the trash that was at the top.
Oh,
they couldn't run the top because it was way too much trash.
And that was awesome. Now, you found that, right? You found that bottom part that will work. You found the tire that will dissipate. Now, that tire, if it was 6 to 8 degrees warmer, we may have had a normal Bristol, right? Just because that's what it was. They said the temperature played that big of a difference. So, I think we've known they know what they're doing all along. It's not like they're experimenting and trying to figure out, well, we just can't make a tire that goes away. They've got that. Like, continue to do that.
I'm going to ask both of you guys the same question, and I just want your input. And we're talking about tires here. You think about 15 years ago, okay? And we followed the sport closely. Think about 10 years ago. How much, and maybe I'm just missing it, but I want you guys to correct me if I am missing it. You hear about them doing all these tire tests at these tracks nowadays versus 10, 15 years ago?
No,
because it seemed like they were doing it all the time, constantly.
Trying to save money.
Yeah, and trying to do something, but you just don't hear about it much anymore, so you really don't know. It's kind of a wild card going to these tracks. Hey, we've got a softer tire. Well, what's it going to do?
And is everybody scared of what's going to happen? What happened 10 years ago at Indy where you got 10 laps and it's just a duck?
Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the thing, is it's just, it's got, you're in this business for entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, you pulled 1.8 million viewers on a college football night. Like, entertain me. And part of the entertainment aspect is making it, like, we joke, I drove a NASCAR around Daytona 3 times.
You did it well, too.
Yeah, I did. But it's like, that car turned on its own. I didn't have to do anything. I mean, granted, I wasn't with 38 of my best friends or whatever running that thing, you know, balls to the wall. But, you know, it pretty much did everything on its own. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to have any skill. If you don't have to have any skill, there's no entertainment.
I wouldn't have said that. I would have left that out of it.
Yeah, that's going
to
step too far.
I'm just saying it to prove a point.
I'm just saying. I'm saying you've got skill. Don't discredit yourself.
Yeah, well,
here.
This is true. But I, to my point there, though, is like, it. If there's no, I guess, I don't want to say dangerous.
They're making it too easy on the drivers is what you're getting at.
And here's a wild conspiracy, because we.
I want to hear it.
Because the teams don't want to pay Chase Elliott money, Dale Earnhardt Jr. money, all these guys money. They can go get somebody that maybe not as good as a driver that they can pay $50,000, $100,000, whatever that time frame is. And so there, you as a driver now, you don't have to have skill to get into Cup.
Well, that's been a trend for a while. Yeah. You got to have money attached to you.
Correct. You got to have money attached to build the cars, but you don't get
– right.
Now, the payouts are a lot lower for drivers now.
Right. And there's a – you want to make – I mean, you've got to be good enough to get to that level, but that's only one variable in the equation. You've got to have money behind you. You got to have sponsorship. You got to have this and that.
Well, like BJ McLeod, that dude's been in it forever and hadn't come close to sniffing winning a race. He's got money.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that got money out there. I think this was a step in the right direction. And that's what we've been preaching for a long time now is this car, since they've transitioned to this car, has struggled at short tracks. And they've hit 2 home runs, or at least a couple of ground rule doubles. The last two of the last 4 races at Bristol.
Batting for 500.
Right, yeah. And that's the tire has been the biggest factor in that, and it just seems like they're dug their heels in on the car. I know we always hear about potential changes of the car, but I've yet to see anything really significant happen there. But the one area we've had at least seen some flexibility, and you know, they've tried some things. Even when they went back to Rockingham, you know, they had 2 different sets of tires, 2 different kinds of tires there when they ran that race, and I think those are steps they're trying to make. I think the final step in the equation, though, is they're going to have to do some more work on getting these cars a little more racy at the short tracks. But that was as fun as you – that's about as most fun as I've had watching a race in a while.
Commit to not being perfect. That's all I ask. If you're good, commit to not being perfect every week. And I think then it turns into entertainment. Then you have to manage. You can't just – hit the, you know, pedal to the floor and go. You've got to manage your stuff.
You know, NASCAR made some changes. Track made some changes. And we talk about it all the time. Seems like week after week. The most improved track on the circuit, just in my opinion, has to be Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, NASCAR did some things. The track did some things with the collaboration with each other. And I think you've got to take these lessons learned from Bristol and do some things and make Bristol great again.
Or take the lessons learned from Atlanta and make it to where your groove or your turn is like this. I mean, at Bristol, we've all been there. You got all kinds of room to go. If on a small track like that, you can go down the straightaway, hit the top and come down and be okay. That's too much room. and Junior made this point. It didn't used to be that wide in the corner. And it, there was a lot of times they had to create a white line somewhere. I can't remember because he said some people would run on the banks weren't as banked. And some people would run on the flat part of the track down at the bottom because there was grip there. Right. And so once they fixed and made the variable banking, then they, you know, changed something with the where they put the white line so that it was all a thinner, you know, kind of corner. So you didn't – you maybe had two grooves and that was it. And that's what created the whole – you know, beating and banging because you really could run side by side with somebody and that's, you couldn't fit anybody else up there. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot. I'm with you. I like the fact that it was entertaining. Like, why can't there's no reason why as professional and as the amount of money that they have that we can't put that type of show on every week.
We're the voice of NASCAR. Yeah, we're happy. We're never happy. It was not quite enough. Even though they put on a great show this week, we're still coming on here.
Yeah, but I think we all agree they put on a great show, but like we just want more of that. Why is it two times out of, what is there, 36 races in a year? I mean,
it's been better. I mean, there's been quite a few good races.
So we're talking 72 races, we got five or six.
I was sitting here thinking when we were talking just a second ago, you know, I mean, say 25, 30 years ago, and I hate to keep going back to those eras, but you know what? There were duds back then, too. I mean, sure, not every race was just going to go out there and set the world on fire and say, man, that was a good race. That was a great race. I mean, there was duds back then,
but there was duds then because you had people who could do what they needed to do to their cars within the rules or create rules.
Yeah.
Now it is so boxed in that the tires are really the only thing you can do other than taking that thing off the bottom, whatever they call that. So, you know, to me, there's not as much variance that you have within the rules now on the car as you did back in the day. But you do have
not as much variance, or there's a lack of desire to allow any variance.
Check and check.
I think that's a more,
because if you have one supplier, you make all the money.
Where it's all black and white now, it's cut and dry now.
There's
what
no
you can do, what you can't do.
And you see the guys that were creative in within the rules. The who's the guy from Canada that was Truex's guy. Crew chief Colpern.
Yeah.
Colpern, you know, he had turned the chassis. He found a way to turn the chassis to where he could. That's why, you know, Martin Truex is still leading the Coca-Cola 600. Is he found a way to turn that without them being able to find it. Chad Knaus out because he created rules, and that was one that made Jimmy Johnson so successful. Rodney Childers out. That's what made Kevin Harvick so successful, and Rodney Childers can't even get a job anymore. And so to me, they all know they can't do what they used to be able to do, which was, you know, kind of create new things to go faster because there's no variance in what they got.
But Paul Wolf's cheating, but still over there, crew chief of 22.
Do you have a problem with that, though? Do you want to see a tighter run sport, or do you want to see? I mean, this is an honest question. I don't know. Do you want to see them have a little more flexibility, even if it wanders into the gray area?
I think I would like to see a little bit more flexibility, but what you're going to get into, and you even have that in today's setups here, or not setups, but I guess the way it's ran, you're going to have the haves and have-nots,
yeah,
without a doubt. If you have the flexibility to do all these other things, hey, you're going to see the very top teams dominate year in and week in and week out.
Don't they still?
And that's what I'm saying. You still see it today.
There's been no equality as far as from the back side of the field to the front.
I would say there's been more opportunity. If you go back and look at the amount of teams that are winning races, I would say that there's been a greater number. I mean, that first year where we had like 15 dudes win, I think we had 14 guys
this year.
So,
but where were they from? We had one that was Michael McDowell. Josh.
But
Berry.
I get it; those guys never did win races in the past, though.
No,
you'd have somebody win 6-7 races a year, and we're not seeing that anymore. Now 3 or 4 is a great year.
So
it's created more balance, I think, across sport, which I think, to be honest with you, was NASCAR's goal to begin with.
Yeah.
Was to balance the field a little bit and take some of these bigger teams that could spend endless amounts of money and give them more opportunity, to the other people in the sport.
Like NFL revenue sharing, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know.
There's a novel idea.
You don't have the Dallas Cowboys out there that can outspend anybody.
Yeah.
And then you've got poor old Atlanta down here, you know.
Yeah, they can't.
Well, the Titans, you know.
Well, I mean, but if you think with the drivers who have won, you've got the championship material, SVG, you know, that's won on road courses, you know.
Four-time winner
on road courses, already out of the playoffs. But then you've got, you know, Josh Berry won at a short track. I forget where he won at. And then, you know, you've got the super speedways that are always going to kind of have a could possibly have another winner.
You know, you bust Van Gisbergen's chops. But I'll tell you what. I would take his year over Alex Bowman, Austin Dillon's, or Josh Berry's.
I would too, because the worst amount of money or the lowest amount of money he can make is, you know, $10 million, $11 million for the team.
Yeah.
In comparison to finishing, you know, where Brad Keselowski is, where you might make, you know, I don't know, $2-3 million.
But, you know,
I mean,
but,
so top
well,
16.
SVG, you know, I mean, he was this close to getting in that second round. Not this close, but, you know.
It was a lot of close. I'm surprised Elliott didn't know where he was in the playoff. How disconnected is Chase Elliott from the day-to-day operations of his team?
I texted you guys, and I was like, I cannot believe I'm sweating the nine making it into the second round here.
Well, and he thought he was out. Well, he got out and did an interview and said, I'm done.
Yeah, because they're probably they never had the expectation of not making it at least into the round of 12, and to be at one point right up against it, and then I think he was out. So I don't know. You probably need to have more awareness, but you need to be telling. Don't you need to be communicating that to your driver much sooner in the race?
Heck yeah.
Or was it a thing where they were just trying to have him run his race and not worry about anything else, knowing how tight the point battle was?
Three race season now, boys. I mean, that's what he's got to tell himself. It's a three race season.
Yep. Because he was right above Austin Cindric in 12th, and I think if Cindric didn't catch on fire, he probably would have been right on the cut line. Cindric kind of helped him out there, losing some laps. So, all right, let's jump to the shock finisher of the week. It's brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Went a little too far there. Two generations of Caldwell Paving and Grading. They can do your driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can pave the interstates too. Give them a call, 423-336-3841. I'm going to let you, I think I know where you're going, Jason. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. I'm going to go that the shock finisher is the reason he shouldn't have been in the scenario he was in to almost be put out of the playoffs.
I'm going Josh Berry again. Yeah. I mean, there ain't no way you finish three weeks dead last.
That's hard to do. We talked about that before we hit the record button here. It's really impressive what they were able to accomplish in this year's playoff.
I mean, the odds got to be so great.
Finish last in all three races. I mean, that takes spectacular effort and
one race was the first lap crash.
Yeah. So he would make the most sense. I'll take Austin Dillon because he had I don't know that he had a legitimate shot of advancing in there, but this is one of his better tracks. They usually have pretty good runs there, and for them not to be able to go out there and at least give themselves a fighting chance late in that race, he'll be my shock finisher of the week.
All this conversation about tires and everything else and who's out kind of just kind of blocked out the winner, Christopher Bell, and he's setting fourth in the playoff standings now.
Were you surprised when all of a sudden, with six laps to go, Christopher Bell was leading the race?
No, I mean, it shocked, shocked the crap out of me.
You know what, though? This was a weird race. You could name, you could name a lot of guys that were shock finishers. When you look at Bubba Wallace, 13 laps down, Larson, 5 laps down, Denny Hamlin, 5 laps down. I mean, there were a lot of guys that you could say that I was surprised where they finished, and, yeah, they was reflected in my fantasy points.
Shows you who can drive a car and who can't.
Well, they make it so easy.
That's right.
Well, anybody can drive.
But when you have tires that go out and you've got to actually work your car, you see the dirt tracker up there winning the race. So, all right, this Victory Lane interview brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Smarts, my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil, gasoline for your car, and they've got 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment, which I think I mowed my grass the last time this past week. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road here in Cleveland, Tennessee. Stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a 50-50 call for Brad, and we knew it was going to be a race between who had fresh tires and who could get to the lead first, and Brad had a tough decision to take the bottom or take the top. He ended up taking the top. I got the bottom. And then, you know, those two guys just on old tires, it was super hard to get the car to stick around the bottom. And they just kind of slid up, and it was a perfect storm for me. So once I got the lead, it wasn't the prettiest thing. Those last couple of laps, just I started really struggling to, you know, hit the line, and I was sliding around a lot, and Brad was able to run right up to me. So, I hope it was a good race for the fans. It was too close for comfort inside the car, but that's what makes it a really good race.
Yeah, you did feel bad for Brad, but listen, that dude could have took him out any way he wanted to, hit him square in the back, the correct way to do it.
He did hit him.
And Chris Wood somehow was able to hold
him. Yeah, that's, I mean, he was just trying to loosen him up and move him up the track, and he hit him, and he did move. I mean, Keselowski had the best car probably the last 30, 40 laps of the race. I mean, they worked their tire strategy, I thought, real well and had an opportunity. They don't get that late caution, they probably win it anyway. But, yeah, great ending, great race, start to finish, just an excellent Saturday night of racing.
Anything you see on social media that looks halfway decent? And they got a little Throwback Thursday stuff they're doing for us, which is really nice. That's all done by WebOp Digital Marketing. And they could do the same thing for you with your business then, and help you with your digital marketing. Go to webob.com for more information. We'll be back. News in the world of NASCAR.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland. 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Listen, fall's right around the corner. You want to make sure you get that heat check. You get that baby turned on. Dale's Heating and Air can do that for you. Give them a call here in Cleveland, 423. Remember to dial the 423-509-8787. Or do like we do. Just call Dale's. .com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR, as always, is brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. Is your insurance company denying weight loss drugs? Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for that are as low as $154. More importantly, my wife had an issue last night about 10 o'clock, and when you can call your pharmacist on his cell phone and he answers the phone to help you out, that's a neighborhood pharmacy and what you want. So you can go see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road in Cleveland, Tennessee, or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, I found this from Adam Stern with the Sport Business Journal. Some within NASCAR have come around to the idea that a one-off race to determine the season-long championship might not be the proper formula and are open for change, one of the people said. Some senior team executives came away from a meeting with NASCAR last week with a feeling that NASCAR is likely to change its playoff format in 2026.
I was alluding to that a little bit last week. You know, Jordan Bianchi was, you know, hinting that, hey, they could go to a four-round.
Something like that.
Yeah, so it would be a three eliminated, you know, whoever, however many cars, and then you've got a four-race sprint
to the finish.
Which makes more sense instead of having somebody that gets into the last race and looks up and wins the darn thing.
And I want to ask you this question, and then I'll answer for me. Is it? Do you think
you'll answer for me?
I'll answer for me. Do you think this is a marriage between what they have been doing and what happened in the past? Is that kind of a good? Because I think that the playoff stuff I like. The stages and people getting eliminated along the way. I like that. I just wonder, does having a championship that requires not just being good at one track, but being good at a series of tracks, make more sense for this sport?
I think what it's going to do, it could do, it would reward like the consistency in that final segment of races.
So you're saying you need to be consistent to win the championship?
Yeah. I mean, he'd have to be.
SVG.
No, I mean.
Yeah, but he would have been.
But he's eliminated now because he's not consistent.
Yeah.
Right. But he would have been in the playoffs to begin with.
Yeah.
I like wins mattering in the regular season and automatically qualifying you for the playoffs. I like that they take 16, 18, however many cars you want, and they whittle it down over the course of a couple of segments.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, though.
Yeah.
What did you like, both of you? What did you like about the Winston Cup point standings? Did you guys like anything about how that point system was done?
No, I didn't.
you didn't get rewarded for wins.
Wins didn't matter as much.
You had constant movement. You got constant movement now.
And I also like that the playoffs, the champion wasn't crowned three races before the end of the year.
The only thing that I don't like about this format is you've got guys in, and I sung his praises all year long, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But a guy that's like in 26th or 30th in points gets an automatic playoff berth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only kind of thing that I don't like. But it is what it is. And I think it's a fair way to do it. But I don't know. I'm on the fence a little bit about that now that I look back this year.
Yeah, I think winning is winning. And it should always be in any sport. You try to win. You have to win the game that you're participating in. We want to reward winning in a way that gives, like, I don't like. That's really the only thing I would change is just change that last, instead of being a one race last segment. And then, if you really want to get my opinion, I think they should race at a short track, a super speedway, a road course, and an intermediate course in the last four races. Because then you're going to get an opportunity to – those are the four disciplines that we use in this sport. You're going to get an opportunity to showcase your talents at the end and let the guy that accumulates the most points in the last 4 weeks win.
This is from Wikipedia. And the NASCAR Cup Series Drivers' Championship is awarded by the chairman of NASCAR to the most successful Cup Series driver over a season as determined by a point system based on race results and victories. This is talking about the Winston Cup deal. First one was given to Red Byron in 49 or whatever, and 32 different champions. And then it goes on to talk about Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt. So, I mean, I would like to see, you know, what that the difference is, or what maybe we forgot. And did Dale Earnhardt win because he won a bunch of races? Because he did. And did Richard Petty win seven because he won a bunch of races? Because he did. And then,
well, you're going to see a higher points per race.
Yeah.
So you're going to be up there higher. You're not automatically locked into a playoff.
Right. So how can you figure out a way to reward winning but reward consistency with no way of it being finished by three races to go in the year?
You give them X amount more points for winning. Not automatically locked in.
Right.
Give them 15 extra points.
So you still keep maybe the say five races to end it, or just four.
Yeah.
Just get down to four, and there's the top four teams get into that last four of it, and their points are based on how many races they've won, and if two of them have won races and two of them hadn't, then
I like the 3-3-4 format. So you're going to get rid of four, and you're going to finish the last four races.
So you guys are in on the playoff type atmosphere, but you want the a different points.
I don't know. You kind of caught me off guard with that question, though. To be honest with you, I'd have to really think about it because I think there's a million ways that you can skin a cat here.
Here's the thing. I don't want to change the point system for just the championship round. I think the point system is the point system. I think you just have the last four races, you have eight guys battling for a championship. So the championship eight.
Instead of having four guys in the last one race.
Yeah. I think it would create more drama and
is
give you more.
Is eight too many, though?
I don't think eight is too many.
I don't think it is.
Not over four races. It's too many if it's
one. But if you
want
to see
race.
Consistency and somebody running up front, it would make it harder if there's only four. Because those four guys have to have four perfect weeks or really good weeks in order to do it.
They don't have to have four perfect weeks. They all could have a bad week and just be not the same week.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I think having eight would quench your thirst a little more about wanting to see consistency, because there's probably going to be somebody in there that runs sixth, fifth and fourth that could win a championship because they accumulate the most points, even though they didn't necessarily win a race. I think it would take a little bit of that old school Winston Cup championship model, but it's just a slimmed down version. I don't need to see somebody wrap up a championship going into Martinsville in week 34.
No. Yeah, I want to see it going into Atlanta when it was Kawicki and Elliott and whoever else.
There the only thing it would do would it would say, okay, we're going to Homestead. This guy's seeded eighth. If he wins, he's still probably not going to win the championship.
Right.
You know, somebody else that has a better points day or more more consistent.
I think you just keep the same point system you have in place.
But
so
you do it the last 4 weeks.
You know, so you're going to base – everybody starts at 2,000 points or whatever it is, 3,000 points in that particular round. You take your playoff points, you add it to it, you've got them seeded 1 through 8. The guy that's in 8 still going to have 4 great weeks to win, but at least he's got an opportunity to win based on points.
We said that we said it's okay in college football.
Yeah,
I think it's fine.
We've done that, so
I think it's fine. I'm very intrigued. With that.
Yeah. I think I'm very intrigued. I think it would be a good mix of the old and quote unquote old and new system.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by the NASCAR Cup point standings as we have them right now, and those are brought to you by Bree Maia with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standing after the running of the Bass Pro Shop Night Race at Bristol Motor Speedway. Chase Briscoe, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, your top four. William Byron, Kyle Larson, Bubba Wallace, Tyler Reddick, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, and Austin Cindric are your 12 battling into the next round, and that is your NASCAR Cup Series standing.
Brought to you by Bree Maia with Crylock Realtors. Give her a call to help her buy that, help you buy that dream home or sell the house you're in. 1-269-598-6243. All right, let's move on to the next race. That's New Hampshire. We'll talk about it right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Time to move on to the next race. And in life, your next race may be moving to a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Balance Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to balancemoving.com or give them a call, 423-763-1000. All right, MRN, our partners, interviewed a couple drivers this week, one being Christopher Bell, which might be a little hot pick for you fantasy. Ask him, how happy were you when you saw New Hampshire was back in the playoffs?
Oh, I was tickled to death. Absolutely tickled to death. Couldn't have asked for a better round of 12 opener. And, you know, New Hampshire, it had been in the playoffs in the past. Even I'd had a lot of success through the Truck Series there. And we actually tested at New Hampshire because it was one of the Truck Series playoff races. And then it got out of the playoffs for a while. But whenever I saw it in 24 that it was going to be in the 25 playoffs, it was definitely one we had circled.
Yeah, and it's he's pretty happy.
He's excited.
And that was even before he won Bristol.
Death.
So yeah. It's one of those deals. All right, Ryan Blaney was asked, how much do you enjoy racing in the New England area?
Because that area is fantastic. It's beautiful up there that time of year, and they always get a packed crowd, and the people up there in New Hampshire are really passionate about motorsports. And so I'm happy that it's back. That's another race. We had to do that one in the rain last year. Started dry, and then like the last, I think, 100 laps was in the rain. So you never know. We could do that. It has the opportunity to throw some rain tires on it. That'd be a wild playoff race. But yeah, that's a fun place. Flat, rough, getting into turn three. These cars are sensitive to bumps and roughness. So yeah, it's a good one to start it off.
You know, they'd ask Kyle Larson, like, how much of a focus has your team put on improving at Loudon? I'm like, maybe they should ask him, how much of a focus has your team put on improving at all?
In general, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear from Kyle Larson.
Yeah, very similar to Gateway, just not a track that we're too confident going to. But, again, I feel like we've gotten our flat, short track stuff package a little bit better. So I enjoy that track a lot. I enjoy the region. I enjoy everything about New Hampshire. It's just not been a place that I've been extremely good at in the past. You know, we've been decent, but not great like you need to be. But hopefully going back this year will be better.
All right, the schedule for this weekend is brought to you by Clarity Property Management. Clarity Property Management is a locally owned property management company that handles finding tenants, collecting those rents, and handling all your maintenance issues. If that's something you need, give them a call, 423-458-2600. Give it to us. Heat up.
So we got an action-packed weekend. All three series are at – no, I'm sorry. No, you've got two series at Loudoun this weekend. Trek race on Saturday at noon on FS1. Then you have the cup race on Sunday at, Jamie, 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
looks like great weather up there. It's supposed to be in the 70s on Sunday, 5% chance of rain. So hopefully won't see any rain this year.
Let's see where sunset. That's depressing. Sunset 6:45 p.m.
Eastern time. Yeah, that is sad.
That is. Yeah. You got to think they're a lot of Eastern, more Eastern than we are.
Yeah,
still, but it's still sickening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Too
that. Quick.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Rick Karch Fantasy Standings. We'll do those right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. It's time for the Rick Karch Fantasy Standings, and those are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know Cleveland has a summer team and a year-round swim team?
Sure do.
This is a perfect sponsor for us because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. Jason Hildebrand.
All right, here's your Bristol Motor Speedway results. Coming in first, none other than the one and only Scott Webb, followed by Loving Left Turns, Kivo Racing, Teddy O, Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Untethered Racing, RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, myself, Gonna Rattle Your Cage, it's number
horrible.
Three.
It's horrible.
Oh, he was horrible because I was horrible and he was worse than I was. Horrible. So the real Lyle, Blake Boyle, and Bentley Thomas. So overall this year, Teddy O still leading, followed by RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, Gunnel Rattery Cage, number three, myself, horrible. Kivo Racing, Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle, Loving Left Turns, Untethered Racing, Scott Webb, Blake Ball, the real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
Bentley. I mean, Bentley talks to me about every freaking race but can't fill out a dadgum, you know, fantasy deal. Yeah. I don't even know why he joins.
Camaraderie, man.
He needs to fix the county. All right, I've got, for Loudoun, New Hampshire, I've got Christopher Bell. He's tickled to death. Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace, Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, and in the garage, I feel like Ryan Preece, he's from that area. He's going to have a pretty good little run, I feel. Christopher Bell over Kyle Larson, Briscoe over Elliott, Bubba, that's something I never thought I'd say. Bubba over Blaney, which I need to change that. Joey Logano over Chastain. NASCAR says that, whoa, I just lost that. Let's go to Jason, and I'll get that back.
I'm going with Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson in my garage, going Bell over Larson, Briscoe over Elliott, Blaney over Wallace, Logano over Chastain, which I'm a little torn here because I've got a good feeling that Chastain could make some noise in this round.
Going around the wall. Hold on, Scott. Let me get this hot pick for NASCAR. They've got Christopher Bell, won two of the last three races at New Hampshire. Hot pick Denny Hamlin, three wins and six runner-up finishes at New Hampshire. Alex Bowman is an avoid. Best Cup finish there in 13th starts is ninth. And William Byron, avoid. Never finished top 10 at New Hampshire in seven starts. And then a sleeper, Chase Briscoe, finished top 15 in all three NASCAR next-gen races at New Hampshire, including runner-up last year. Listen, that's for gambling purposes, but if you got a problem gambling, stop, Scott Webb.
I'm a little nervous because I've got way too many. I feel like I have way too many Toyotas in the field, but I have Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe, Ryan Blaney, and Tyler Reddick. I got Logano in the garage. I got Bell over Larson, Briscoe over Elliott, Blaney over Wallace, and Logano over Chastain.
All right, so we got a flat check. We actually are getting to the start of the next three of the cutoff. We had, You know, we had four drivers go out. What if you had to guess, what do you think or who do you think would be the next four out after these three races? And I'll kind of go through what we have on the bottom here as far as the bottom four as we currently speak to give you guys a second. But Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, and Austin Cindric are the last four going now. So really, you think that a couple of those are going to have to win to be able to get up top. What do you think?
I think the first four out. This is just me. I'm going Kyle Larson. I'm going Bubba Wallace. I'm going Austin Cindric.
It's a shocker for you.
Bubba Wallace, Austin Cindric. I'm going to go William Byron.
Oh, wow. You got the majority of two of the
I got Elliott and Byron cars. Going out.
Yeah. Be one hitter car left.
And I'm not taking Wallace for anything, so he's out.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Larson's just got to – he's got to do something different, man. Yeah. So does Elliott.
I wonder if they need some new blood on top of the box to kind of help them out. But we'll see.
I'll just give you the guys at the bottom of the rankings here. Cindric, Elliott, Chastain, and I'll actually flip it because I like Logano the next couple weeks. I'll take William Byron. He's struggling a little bit right now.
It's hard to knock out, you know. I'm along with you. I had three Toyotas going this week. It's hard to knock out any of these Toyotas.
The Toyotas run so well. Just to let you know, the three races they're running at New Hampshire, Kansas, and then the Roval in Charlotte.
Yeah, so the Roval will probably be – that's going to be a little difference maker. I'd say if you're a driver that doesn't like the road course, you might want to make sure that you kind of get yourself locked in from there. So, all right, make sure you tune in next week. We will break down New Hampshire. We'll get you ready for Kansas. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.